All of us can lose hope at one time or another. When our life or our marriages haven't turned out the way that we have planned and we feel like they're never going to change. When we have tried and tried to make the necessary changes, but nothing seems to work. We can lose hope when the problem that we are facing seems impossible to get through. When it seems that there's just no way past it, no way to heal from the hurt or the pain, and no way to move forward. But with God, ladies, there is always hope. For with Him, nothing is impossible. Our hope in man will definitely fail at some point. But we can be sure of this. The true hope that we find in God never fails. Ladies, if you have lost your hope and are in despair, if you don't see how your life or your marriage or your husband is ever going to change, or how you're ever going to be free from that situation that you are in, then stick around and listen carefully as I share about how to find rest and peace in the true hope of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's get started. Welcome to the Faith Lived Out podcast. Are you wanting a loving Christian marriage but are unsure what that looks like or how to get it? Do you have fears about becoming a submissive wife, afraid that you'll lose your identity or become a doormat? Do you have thoughts that maybe you're doing this whole wife and marriage thing all wrong and you want to know how to do it right, to stop worrying all the time and to learn how to truly put your faith and trust in the Lord? Hey girl, I'm Nancy Adamson, wife, mom, and Grammy to 7 sweet babies, Christian mentor, Bible teacher, speaker, and women's ministry leader. I see you and I get you because I've been there, and I'm here to share with you what God has taught me on how to have a loving biblical marriage and what the true meaning of being a submissive wife really looks like. We'll also chat about how to find wisdom and truth for life's challenging questions in His Word, how to apply God's truth to our lives, and to put the cares and concerns that are on your heart safely in the Father's hands. So if you're ready to learn how to live out your faith every day and follow the amazing plan that God has for your marriage, grab your coffee, pull up a chair next to mine, and let's get started. Before we get started with today's episode, I have some very special news for you, something that I'm excited about and been wanting to set up for a while, and that is mentoring calls. You can now book a 30-minute mentoring call with me. So if you have questions about being a submissive wife and what all that means and what a biblical marriage means, if you are having struggles in your marriage and want some biblical insight and some practical application of God's word for how things can change or how things should be in your marriage, then you can give me a call and we will sit down and we will talk about this. It is very confidential. It's very comfortable and easy. There's nothing to be afraid of or concerned with. Just to sit down with me and to have a chat and to look at God's word and to be able to apply His word to what your particular situation is. And that's what we will do on these calls. So if you are interested in booking a call like this or just want to have more information and what this is all about, then you can go to the Faith Lived Out website, and it's www.faithlivedout.com. You can go there, go under the mentoring call tab, and it will give you all the information about this. And there's a place there to book a call if you choose to do so. And like I said, know that it's completely confidential. It's just you and I chatting and just sharing that wisdom from God and what He has taught me in all these years of being married. And I'm happy to share that same thing with you and to be able to help you to move forward with God in your marriage. All right, so check it out, and I hope to hear from you soon. Now, on to today's episode. We often put our hope in ourselves, that we make our own destiny and that we forge our own way, that it's up to us to make changes in our life or in our husbands to make our marriages what it is that we want them to be. We can put our hope in our husbands, thinking that they will fulfill our lives and make us happy. We can put our hope in a worldview of life that it's supposed to be this way, so why isn't it working out the way it's supposed to? Or we can try to follow what is taught in some book by some successful person, and that if we do what they tell us to do, that we're going to have the same kind of success ourselves. We may put our hope in our jobs, in our careers, and thinking that if I build this career and if I make this money, it's going to solve all of my problems and I will be free. However, this kind of hope is in mankind, who is at his best still weak and selfish on his own, or in a world that is ruled by Satan, the enemy, who seeks whom he may devour. True hope, a hope that we can really count on and believe in, is only found in God and God alone. He is the one who is sovereign, has that infinite wisdom, and sacrificially loves his children. It is only when we put our faith and our hope in the Lord that we find rest and peace in this life. I have several scriptures for you today because I really want you to understand that the hope I speak about is firmly rooted in the Word of God. It's not from men. It is not from the world. It is not here today and gone tomorrow like those things are, but it is from the living God whose hope is eternal. So let's start by taking a look at some of the scriptures that teach us about the true hope that we have in Christ. The first one is from Romans 15, verse 13, and it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So this affirms for us that God is the God of hope who fills us with all joy and peace. That is the only place that we can get true joy and peace, ladies, is from the Lord. That no matter what our circumstances are, whatever we see before us, whatever pain or despair that we may be feeling at the moment, we can abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not our own power. It's not up to us. It's not what we can muster up within ourselves, because we can never accomplish this in our own strength. But it is calling upon the Holy Spirit to help us and to help us have that rest and peace as we hope in the Lord and what His future is for us. Our next scripture is from Psalms. It's 31 verses 23 and 24. And it says, "Oh, love the Lord, all you His saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." Here we have God's promise that the Lord preserves the faithful. So when we love the Lord and we put our hope in Him, we can rest assured that He will take care of us and that He will see us through. And then it also tells us that He repays the proud, meaning that we don't have to worry about that person who seems to be against us, or that we have some kind of fear of what their action might be, what their retaliation might be, or how they might treat us, because they're in God's hands. Like, God's going to take care of them and He will repay them for their actions. So if they have hurt us in some way, we don't have to worry about getting back at them, or, you know, what's going to happen to them, or any kind of vengeance, because God takes care of that. All we need to do is to put our hope in the Lord for what our future is and allow God to take care of that person, and for us to not be afraid of them, because God is sovereign over them and God has control. You know, it's like that little guy with the big friend, that even though he's much smaller, he is still courageous and strong against his enemies because he knows who stands behind him. So now let's look at Hebrews 10:23. And it says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." Having our hope in God is nothing like we may have experienced from somebody else, and from having it in a person that we know, even somebody that we know and love. But having that hope in that person or in the world, because at some point, they're going to be weak. We're all sinful. We all have difficulties, and we all fail from time to time. But with God, He is always faithful, and He never fails. Not that it will always turn out the way that we think that it should, because God's ways are His ways, and His ways are higher than our ways. And so it's not always going to happen the way that we think that it should happen, or the way we think it's going to, or the way that we planned out. But we can trust in the fact that God is sovereign, He does love us, and that everything that happens in our lives are for our good and His glory. We can put our hope and trust in His word when it tells us in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." That all things work together for good, even when it doesn't seem like it right now, but they will work for good in the end. Even if you can't see how your husband, your marriage, or your life is ever going to change, you think that it is impossible to forgive or to heal from the hurt or from the feelings that you have and what your current circumstances are, know this: God does see it. God does know exactly where you are and what you're facing and how you're feeling, and He has a plan for it, and He has a way out of it, and He has a way for you to walk through it with Him if you put your faith and hope in Him. I was reminded yesterday that nothing happens in our lives that is a surprise to God. He has it all planned out. So whatever you're facing right now, God knew it beforehand, and He had a plan before it ever even happened, before you ever even knew what was going on. God had it all planned out. And more often than not, He has planned it for this very reason, that you will learn to put your faith, trust, and hope in Him and Him alone. In Psalms 42:5, the question is asked, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." So ladies, I ask you today, why are you cast down? And why are you disquieted? Sometimes we can feel this way and we're not even sure why. And we need to pray and ask God, "Lord, tell me where the trouble is that is in my heart," or "help me get down to the root of the problem in why I have a fear, in why I have lost hope, in what is happening, and what my true problem is and circumstance, and give me what it is that I need to be able to get through, to walk with You, Lord, through this, and to have You help me to take care of it." And then it tells us to hope in God. Put your faith and your trust in your Heavenly Father to guide you and protect you through whatever challenges that you are facing. He loves you and He cares for you and He wants to be there for you. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it tells us, "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." Our God is faithful. He's not like us. He's not wavering. He's not disappointing. He's always there. He is always faithful. He is always sovereign. And He will not let you down like maybe some people have let you down in the past. But that's not God. God is faithful. Now, there is a prerequisite for the hope that we have in God. And that is, God's hope is for those who trust in Him. And we find this in Psalm 33, verse 18, where it tells us, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy." So those who fear Him, this is meaning that those who are His children, those who seek His word and want to follow His word and to follow His will for their lives. And then those who hope in mercy. Mercy is not receiving something that we deserve. So those who hope in Christ's mercy are those who have repented of their sins, and their hope is in the forgiveness that Jesus Christ has given them. In order to truly put our hope in God, we must believe in who God is, and we must put our faith and our trust in Him and Him alone. We can't say, "Oh, I'm going to try God and see if it works. I'm going to pray and I'm going to say, Lord, You take care of this. I'm going to give it to You and see what You do with it. And if You do what I think is good, or You work fast enough, or whatever the case may be, then I'll believe in You and then I'll trust in You." It doesn't work that way, ladies. We need to put our faith and trust in God first. In Romans 10, 8 through 9, it says, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is what is required to be a child of God, that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord of your life and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead." Ladies, if you have not done this, if you do not fully understand what it is that I am talking about, then please go and listen to episode number 10. It's entitled, "God's Love for Us, the Ultimate Gift That Will Change Your Life." And true ladies, it will change your life. So like I said, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, if you do not know what I am talking about in this, then please go and listen to that episode and know that I am here for you. If you have questions about it, you can email me, you can message me on Facebook or through the Facebook community. However it is that you want to get in touch with me, that's totally fine. If you know someone that does know what this is, that you know is a believer in God, then go to them, talk to them, have them answer your questions and to pray with you to become his child. If you are a believer, then you know that as such, we are to put our trust in the Lord and not in ourselves and not in anyone or anything else. Psalms 118:8 tells us, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." As good as any man might be, we all still have that sinful nature, like I said, and we all have things that we deal with, and we will not have the faithfulness that God has. And then Psalms 18:30 says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him." God's way is perfect, and we see it all throughout Scripture. Thankfully, he has the power and the will to be the shield for his children, a shield of protection that we can count on. To encourage you in this, I have a couple of examples from Scripture. And the first one is David. Now, before David was king, he was a leader in King Saul's army. And the Lord was with David, and he blessed David when he went out to battle, and he was very successful in this. And when they would come back from battle, the women would cry out, and they would cry out, "King Saul had killed thousands, while David killed 10,000s. And this made the king angry and jealous to the point where he wanted to kill David. When he couldn't seem to make this happen on his own, because he tried some sneaky ways to kill David on his own, but when he couldn't do that because God was protecting David, Saul went after him with his entire army. So David and his men are being hunted by King Saul and his men who want to kill them. And I'm sure you can imagine this is a very difficult and scary time for him. And these men who were with them, I mean, think about it. Somebody with the power of a king who has the entire army at his disposal, which is 3,000 men, by the way, and he is filled with rage and anger and will stop at nothing until he finishes what he sent out to accomplish, which is to kill you. Like, that is a scary scenario, ladies. So David, however, puts his faith and trust and hope in God to guide him and to protect him. In Psalm 34:4, it says, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." And this is a psalm of David. He's the one that said this. And if you've read through the story of David and Saul, then you'll see that David prayed and God directed his path. He brought others into his life to help him, to keep him from making some grave mistakes, and God brought him through. In Psalm 34, verses 15 and then 18 and 19, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." And this is also a psalm of David. So he's telling us that God is sovereign. He's mighty, wise, and loving. And he delivered David from being killed by Saul. And if he did this for David, then he can certainly deliver you from whatever difficult circumstances that you find yourself in today. But notice, the eyes of the Lord are on who? It's on the righteous and those who have a contrite spirit, meaning those who recognize their sinful nature and their need for a Savior. And the Lord delivers them out of how many afflictions and troubles? Out of them all, every single one of them. Another example that I have for you is Sarah. And Sarah wasn't being hunted, thank goodness, but in her case, she was broken. Her heart was broken because she was childless and could not conceive. She was well past the age of bearing children, and she had lost hope that she would ever have them. Yet God made her a promise to do the impossible, to give her a child in her old age. At first, she doubted this and even laughed at God, but then she put her hope and trust in Him. Because of her faith, Sarah is mentioned in the hall of faith that we find in Hebrews chapter 11. And then in verse 11, it says, "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." So Sarah judged God to be faithful. She put her hope of her future in His hands, even though to herself and to others who are around her, it would seem impossible for this to happen. However, nothing is impossible with God. What these two have in common is that they took their fears and their concerns to the Lord. They followed His wisdom and His righteousness for their lives. They lived their life for Christ as best as they could, because both of them certainly made some mistakes. But they put their faith and hope in the Lord because they trusted in Him to be faithful, and God heard their prayers. He watched over them, He blessed them, and He saw them through to victory. When we do this, when we fully put our hope and trust in Christ, then we can do the same. We can find rest for our souls. We will not need to be in fear of the future, or if things will ever change, or if we will ever have joy and peace again in our lives, because our Heavenly Father, who loves us and cares for us and is faithful, He will guide us and protect us through our difficult circumstances. This all sounds wonderful and all, you know, what everybody wants, but it is so much easier said than done, ladies. And I get that because I've been there. When we are in the thick of it, when we are in the middle of the chaos and the strife, and we are fearful and we don't know where to turn or what's going to happen next, and all we can see is the enemy or the fear or what the bad thing is going to happen, it is difficult to truly give it over to God and to find that rest and to find that peace. So I have some practical ways for you to be able to do this and to really live this out in putting your hope in God. The first one is, like, as I've talked about, we must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We must believe in who Jesus is, that He is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins, and that He was raised again to pay the penalty for those sins. We must go to Him with a repentant heart and ask for His forgiveness. We must be willing to surrender our own will to follow His and to make Him Lord of our lives. In Psalms 27:1, it tells us, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" When we have done this, when we have received the free gift of salvation in our hearts, then we have the strength of the Lord and we have no need to fear. Again, ladies, if you have not done this, if you are unsure of what I am talking about, then go and listen to episode number 10 and listen to that and just pray to God for Him to speak to you and for Him to touch your heart. If you need someone to speak to about it, if you have questions, talk to me, talk to a friend, talk to somebody at your church. But ladies, this is a life-changing decision that you need to really consider. And so I pray that you do. All right. So the second thing for us to do is to learn and follow what is written in God's Word. The Lord gives us this promise in Psalm 32:8. It says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." And ladies, God has done this for me. I have been in difficult situations where I didn't know what the next right step was. I didn't know what to do or how to handle it. It was an area that I had never been in before and was completely lost. But God directed my path. I asked daily for him to be with me, to guide my words, to guide my actions, and he was faithful. He guides us through the teaching of his word. His word is our instruction manual for how to live this life and to do it God's way and not what the world would tell us to do. So ladies, seek the scriptures. Then in Romans 15:4, we read, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." They were written for our learning. This is the purpose of the scriptures. This is where we learn from God. These scriptures are our letters from God to us in what it is that he wants to teach us and what it is that he wants us to do and the kind of character that he wants us to have. This is where we find our patience and our comfort is in the scriptures. And this is where we have our hope. To do this, we must be reading and studying our Bibles, going to the Word for instruction and for guidance for our problems, and seeking God's wisdom for what our next step should be. The third practical way that we can put our hope in God is to pray for God's direction and wisdom in everything, over your life, what God's plan is for your life, to open the doors that he wants you to walk through and to close the doors that he doesn't want you to walk through so that you follow his plan and his purpose for your life. Over your current circumstances, to guide you in your decisions, your actions, and your responses in whatever is happening in the situation that you are in. Again, we have an example from David in 1 Samuel 24, verses 3 through 7, of when he restrained himself and his men to follow the will of God. And this is when Saul was chasing David with 3,000 men to kill him. And it says this, "So he came to the sheepfolds by the road," and he's talking about King Saul here, "where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, 'This is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as seems good to you.' And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterwards that David's heart was troubled him, because he had cut Saul's robe, and said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord.' So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way." So David feared for his life because of Saul, and he could have taken matters into his own hands and killed Saul right at that moment without any hesitation, but he didn't. Instead, he followed God and his will, not his own. After Saul left the cave, David calls out to him, and he lets him know what has just happened. Like, "Hey, check out the corner of your robe, because I just cut it off and here it is in my hands. But I chose not to kill you because you are anointed of the Lord." And then Saul tells him this in verses 17 through 20. "Then he said to David, 'You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand.'" David didn't take matters into his own hands. He was not vengeful or fearful of what letting Saul go might mean to him, and that he was going to continue to have to hide from him and continue to have to look behind his back because somebody was out to kill him. But instead, he followed God in not harming the Lord's anointed. God used this to change Saul's heart, and Saul realized that David is God's chosen one to be the next king, and therefore Saul no longer sought to kill him. Think about this. I'm sure that David's men were telling him, "Hey, dude, it's either you or him. Like, you need to take care of this, and you need to take care of it now. And God has put this right before you so that you can do it, take care of it. But David knew the law. David knew that he was not to hurt one of God's anointed. So even though he was in an impossible situation, even though that he was in a place where it's like, okay, Lord, if I don't do this, then I really need your protection because this man is trying to take my life. But yet he followed God and he was faithful to God in following his word and doing what the law told him to do. And God was faithful to him and protected him. This is a clear example for us that our God is the God of the impossible, the one who will and can change hearts according to his will and his purpose. So another one is to pray for your marriage. Pray for God to be in the center of it, guiding both you and your husband to a closer walk with the Lord and to unity with one another. Pray for your husband, for his heart to be guided by God. Pray for his struggles. Pray for him to have faith and hope in the Lord in the same way that you are striving to have faith and hope in the Lord. Pray for your family in training up your children for their protection, for their health and their safety. Pray for God's guidance over decisions that you're making for them and entrust them to the Lord. We have a hard time believing this as parents, but God actually loves our kids more than we do, believe it or not. Pray over your finances for God's wisdom and in following what he tells us to do in giving of our tithes and offerings, in being generous to others and meeting the needs of others. Pray for him to direct your path or your husband's path in leading you in what job he has for you or what your next steps in your career might be. If you feel that he is calling you to quit your job, to cut back on it in some way, or to do something different so that you will have more time for your family, even though it may mean less of an income, then trust God in this. Take that step of faith. There is an episode that I have. It's called The Leap of Faith. I don't know what the number of it is off the top of my head, but it is called A Leap of Faith, and it's where God had directed both my husband and I for me to quit my job. So, you know, listen to that if that is something that you are contemplating and thinking about doing. And then we can even go to the Lord and pray for faith. We can ask him to help us to have more faith, to have more trust in him over every aspect of our life, to trust in his perfect plan and his will for our lives and for our children's lives. Faith to trust him with our finances and that he will provide for us. Faith to trust him with our marriages, with our husbands' hearts, with guiding and protecting us in whatever situation that we may be in. Faith to heal our hearts, to mend us from a broken heart. And we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to have the faith and the trust that I need to have in you in order to be able to truly hand this over to you. To give this problem that I have, to give this concern or this fear that I have over to you and to not take it back and for you to take care of it. And then the fourth practical step that we can take is to be patient. Wait for God's timing and not try to do it in our own. We live in a world where everything is how fast can I get it? How quickly, you know, Amazon Prime, let's get it the next day. You know, microwaves, let's have it in 10 seconds, like all of this stuff. And we saw some of this change when we went through the whole COVID thing and, you know, supply chains weren't quite as robust as they had been and we had to wait a little while. And some of us were like, wait, what? How come? You know, we're used to having everything right away. But you know what? God doesn't work that way. He's never worked that way. I mean, we can read accounts in scripture where things took years. And God doesn't work that way. And Sarah is an example of this for us in that she became impatient. God had promised that she would conceive a child, but it was taking too long for her in Sarah's eyes. And she became impatient with God. She took matters into her own hands when she gave her servant Hagar to Abraham to have a child. And this only caused more problems for her. In Genesis 16, verse 5, we read, "Then Sarai said to Abram, 'My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me.'" So she tried to do this on her own. She tried to say, okay, this isn't happening fast enough. Maybe I need to do this. Maybe I need to take it back and take control. Or maybe God wants me to do this or to do that. And ladies, so often that's not the case. God just wants us to wait. He has a perfect plan. He has a perfect will. And he just wants us to wait for his timing. And his timing is not ours. And it generally takes much longer than what we want it to. On more than one occasion, I have taken matters into my own hands and I have regretted it probably every single time. Not with anything quite as big as this, but definitely I have regretted those times that I have forced my way in what I thought needed to happen and God had a different plan. And I could see afterwards, I should have just stayed out of it. Psalm 27:14 tells us, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Ladies, pray this. If you're having a difficult time waiting on God, then pray this prayer. Just say, "Lord, help me to wait on you and your perfect timing and your perfect will." That is where our faith and trust really comes in, because we need to wait for him. I want to leave you with two promises from God to us. And the first one is from John 14:27, and it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We can have peace in the Lord. We can be in a place where we are not afraid, that we are not fearful of our future, because we know that we can rest in God and his peace. And then Psalm 34 verses 8 through 10 tell us, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." That is our promise to us from our Heavenly Father. Have a blessed day. Thank you so much for listening today. I pray that God has used this episode to bless and inspire you to live out your faith in him. If it has, please do me a huge favor by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. This is the only way that I know if you like the show, and you will be helping others to find this podcast and be lifted up by the Word of God. Is there someone who came to mind while you were listening today and you said, "Ooh, she needs to hear this"? Well, then send her the link so she can be encouraged too. Are you in the Dallas area and looking for a fresh new speaker to add excitement to your next luncheon, women's retreat, or other women's event? Then drop me a note at nancy@faithlivedout.com and let's chat about it. That's Nancy, N-A-N-C-I, at faithlivedout.com. I would love to come and meet with you and the ladies in your group. You're also welcome to visit the website at faithlivedout.com for more information, blog posts, journaling ideas, and free printables. Or become a part of our little community of believers by joining the Faith Lived Out community group on Facebook, where you can join together with other faith-led wives and moms just like you. Links to these areas and the scripture references used in today's episode are in the show notes. Ladies, thank you again for listening today, and know that I am praying for God to be with you as you learn to trust in him more and to live out your faith every day. God bless you, and see you on the next episode.